verse number 13. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God had from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth, whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which you have been taught, whether by word or by our epistle. Now our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God, even our Father, which had loved us and had given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts, establish you in every good word and work. You know, tonight as we look at this passage, this is an exhortation that Paul now gives the church. Remember, he taught them about that future falling away, which is going to be headed by the Antichrist. There's going to be a great apostasy coming. But he also, I believe, warned about a present danger that we have now. You know, we have to cling tightly to the truth. You know, in the midst of this exhortation is verse 15, where he says, therefore, brethren, stand fast. This is a command for these believers who had been deceived by false teachers about the day of the Lord, and they were troubled by it, they were confused by it, and even it was causing some of them to walk away from the Lord or wander away from the Lord. Because in chapter 3, he talks about that some of them were becoming busybodies and such. They were walking disorderly. And so he tells them to stand fast and hold the traditions. Amen. The hold is another imperative verb. We're going to look at those tonight, these two imperatives. But I want to just say that Christians today, you know, we look at this sometimes, we think, well, that was then. But no, let me say today, Christians are in constant danger of being swept away by the downstream of the currents of this ungodly culture. Many of them are. Many of them are being swept away. Many Christians are swept away and by false teaching and false practices. Just like the hymn said, we're prone to wander from the God we love. We're prone to let these truths that we know. Many of us grown up in this church or grown up hearing the Word of God preach, we are prone to wander from this. And we are prone to wander from that relationship that we enjoy with God. I think Robert Robinson, who wrote that hymn, Come Thou Fount, he hit it right on the head. He hit the nail on the head when he expressed our tendency to wander from God, to wander and leave the God we love. And because of this sinful tendency, we, like Paul says here, we need to stand fast. We need to hold, cling to the truth we have been taught. It's very important. Cling to that which we've been taught by God's servants. These Thessalonian believers, they were in danger of loosening their grip on the apostles' teaching which they had received. They had received this teaching by word and by epistle, by letter. In other words, by word meaning in person. When Paul was there, he taught them. They received from him doctrine. And then the first letter he wrote, and now the second letter. They were in danger of slipping backward in their Christian experience because of all the pressures of the trials they were going through. You know, we've talked about some of the persecutions and trials that this church is going to. Because of the false teaching that was being spread among them, They were in danger of slipping backward and wandering from God. And all the negative influences of the world, the flesh and the devil on top of that. I've titled this message, Clinging Tightly to the Truth. You know, after reassuring these believers, they didn't need to fear the day of the Lord, this future time of unprecedented calamity and destruction. Paul exhorts them now to stand fast, to hold to the traditions which they had been taught. And really, this is the only effective way that we can confront error. This is the only effective way that we can keep from wandering from God, is if we hold We got to hold cling tightly to the truth. If we don't, we're going to wander from God. You know, the Word of God is the sword of the Spirit. As I prayed, that's our only defense against Satan. Actually, it's a weapon of offense. We have the others as a defensive armor, but the sword is the only offensive weapon we have besides prayer against Satan. We have to cling tightly to the truth. And to have this kind of resolve against these strong winds of false teaching that even all around us today, we have to know what we believe and why we believe it. So very important. So very important. Paul speaks of traditions. I want to just address that in verse 15. By the way, this verse was camp theme verse this past summer. It was the theme of camp for the year. But they didn't really preach on it, expound on it, but it's a great verse. Stand fast and hold the traditions. I want to expound on what is meant by traditions here. He said, whether by word or by our epistle. This word traditions, it means, or it refers to a body of truth that's handed down from one person to another. It comes from a root word that means to transmit. And so the idea is transmission. So it's talking about truth that's transmitted from one person to the next. When Paul used this word tradition, I want to make this very clear. He was not referring to man-made religious ideas. He was not referring to man-made opinions or interpretations that are not based on the Word of God. That's not what he's talking about. We know Jesus rejected man's religious traditions. Remember how he talked about they could take traditions and make the Word of God of none effect. We don't have time to go there, but it's in Mark chapter 7, verse 1 through 13. The Pharisees were using their man-made traditions to make God's Word of none effect. So he's not talking about that at all. Paul even warned against these kind of traditions in Colossians 2:8. So we know that that's not what he's talking about. You know, it's sad that people will argue over man's traditions and at the same time reject the clear teaching of the Word of God. I want to explain to you why you use the word tradition. You got to understand the cultural context. The truth of the gospel began as an oral message. It began as an oral message from Jesus to his disciples. And then from his disciples who became apostles, they transmitted it to others. You got to realize when Paul wrote this letter, they didn't have the New Testament. The New Testament wasn't written and completed. They didn't have a complete Bible that we have today. It was transmitted orally. They were apostles. There were prophets in this time. And so what he's talking about is these truths that they had been transmitting and passing down to the church, that they're to hold fast to those. In other words, the Word of God, because later this oral message was written down by inspiration of the Holy Spirit in what we call now Holy Scriptures. You know, it says in Acts 2, they continued in the apostles' doctrine. Fellowship, prayers. The apostles' doctrine, that's what it is that they were that he's talking about here, that finally was put in Scripture by the Holy Spirit. You know, God's truth was not invented by man, but it was handed down from God to men. And so originally the message was transmitted orally and then it became Scripture. Now we have it in the Word of God. And so what this would mean today would be to stand fast and hold the truth of the Word of God that we have in our hands. That's what he's talking about. He's not talking about traditions that we might have that are not even in Scripture. He's talking about the truth of the Word of God. Now this word stand fast, it means to be stationary, to persevere. In other words, don't move away from what has been handed down by the apostles and prophets, the Word of God. Don't move. Stand fast for the truth. Don't be moved away. You know, sadly, so many Christians today are looking for some new thing to help maybe breed life into their church. But the answer is not in something new. The answer is in renewing our focus on what is old, the Scriptures, the Word of God. If you want life, go to the Word of God. Amen. Read Psalms 119. He talks about how that His Word... Several times, I don't have those verses memorized, but it talks about that His Word had quickened him, meaning revived him, given him life. The Word of God, it revives us. It gives us life. If we really want life, spend time meditation in the Word of God, day and night, like Psalm 1 tells us to do, like Joshua 1:8 tells us to do. You know, meditation, I'll talk more about down in the future. But anyway, it's through the Word of God that we can... have a reviving. You know, Jude, in his short epistle, he said, "Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered to the saints." Earnestly contend. He's talking about preserving, defending the truth. To cling tightly to the truth. Paul is writing this after they had just been overtaken by false teaching. He's telling them, you know what I've taught you by word and by letter. Hold fast to that. Stand fast in that truth. I remember that my wife and I, when we were in Bible college, we got to go to Africa and then we came back through London and we got to go see Buckingham Palace in London. And it was an amazing thing to watch the Queen's foot soldiers. And now when the Queen is in the palace, there'd be four. But when she's not in the palace, there'd be two. But to see those soldiers standing there in those little booths or sometimes outside those booths, just standing there, standing fast, stationary. To see their perseverance. Because people would come up to them. They'd laugh at them. They would wave in front of them, you know, trying to get them to move, try to get them even to blink an eye and try to, you know, get them to crack a smile. And by the way, if they did smile, they'd be fined. They couldn't even crack a smile. But I haven't seen this, but I read that if anybody was to touch them, they would get shouted down. And maybe even get to see the tip of the bayonet. But other than that, they're standing fast. And they have to stand fast for 2 hours. After 2 hours, they can march down and back. But then they have to stand fast. And, you know, I thought about that. How that they were so committed to defending the Queen. I guarantee you, if anybody tried to get in there, they're gonna stop them. they're standing fast in defense of the Queen. Well, you and I, we are to stand fast and defend the truth. Amen. Defend the truth of God's Word, the precious faith that had been delivered unto us. We're not to be moved by the wiles of Satan or the praises of men. We must stand fast. Now, this word hold is another imperative verb, and it means to hold fast, to hold firmly. It's related to a word that means to use strength, might, and power. So in other words, we're to hold the Word of God, not in a careless way, but we're to grasp it firmly with power, with strength. Don't let it slip away. We need to pass it down to the next generation. And the only way we can do that is to guard it, to defend it, to preserve it, to keep it intact. You know, when I think about this hold being with strength, with power, it brings a Bible story to mind. Over in 2 Samuel, is one of the stories in 2 Samuel 23 and verse 10, is a story about one of David's mighty men, and Eleazar. Eleazar, when all the men of Israel were gone away and the Philistines had come into the land of Israel, it says that he arose and smote the Philistines until his hand was weary. And listen to this. And his hand clave unto the sword. And the Lord wrought a great victory that day, and the people returned after him only to spoil. Here's one of David's mighty men. When everybody else fled, he stood alone fighting with the sword. And it said his hand became weary, but it says that his hand clave to the sword. That's what it means to hold fast with strength. He did not ever let loose of that sword. He didn't ever lay down that sword. His hand clave to that sword. And as Eleazar, we must cling tightly to the Word of God. You know, if we're not grounded in the truth, we're going to be vulnerable to false teaching. We're going to be vulnerable to wandering away from God. Because it's not easy, especially in the day and time in which we live. Where Satan's attacking so viciously. He knows how to use lies to oppose God's truth. And sometimes he seeks to do this within churches. Amen. But we need to hold fast. We need to stand fast. Amen. To the truth of God's Word. You know, in this introduction to this exhortation in verse 13, I want to just back up and just say a few things. I share a few things here where he talks about his thanks to God for them. He was thankful for them. You know, they were not part of those that had not received the love of the truth. They received it. They had received the love of the truth. They're not going to be a part of this day of the Lord that they were worried about. But he gave thanks always to God for them because notice he said, brethren, beloved of the Lord. Sometimes we need to be reminded of that we're loved of God. And that's kind of why I wanted to spend some time in that hymn tonight, for you to meditate on it and think about it for a little bit. Think about how loved you are. Sometimes we get all these satanic attacks in our life. We go through the valley. We go through dark times. And we sometimes begin to question and doubt God. You know, we as Christians, I read about a Christian leader yesterday. He made this statement, we don't live by explanations, we live by promises. God don't have to explain himself. He's God. We just have to cling to the promises. This standing fast and holding is part of that. Holding to the promises, holding fast to those things. If you don't hold fast to these things, listen, when you're in the dark valley, you're going to wander from God. Satan's going to get the victory over you. You better hang on to that truth of God's word, because your feelings are going to lie to you. Satan's going to whisper in your ear. Things are going to be so dark. You're going to feel so alone. You're going to think, where is God? Well, guess what? He's where he said he would be. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. You may not feel his presence. You may not see his presence. But listen, he promised. He promised. And he will be with you. He promised that. I'm thinking it was sunlight of love. Walking in sunlight. Curtis, is it in this book? Can you look it up for me? I'm going to keep going. If you find it, let me know what it is. But there was a phrase in there I wanted to pull out from that song. But you know, here he wants them to be, he's thankful. It's not in here, okay. He's thankful for them, and he reminds them they're beloved. They're loved of God. They're loved. But you know, that song, there's something in that song, Sunlight, walking in sunlight. I was singing it this morning, going over it, and I was thinking about, it was talking about on the mountaintop and in the valley, his sunlight. We're walking in his sunlight, whether you're on the mountaintop or valley. And then it talked about when shadows around us, shadows above us, cannot conceal our Savior. Some words like that, I can't remember exactly, but I was like, wow. Even when there's shadows around us, shadows above us, they can't conceal our Savior. He's still there. He's still light. He's still sunshine. You know, it also says here, God had from the beginning chosen you. Man, not only are we loved by God, we're chosen by God. We're his chosen people. Wow. Chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth, whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, we have obtained the glory of the Lord Jesus. We're waiting for Jesus to return. Then that glory is going to be revealed. You know, I like what Paul said in Romans 8:18, the sufferings of this present time are not to be compared to the glory that shall be revealed in us. When God called us through the gospel, the Holy Spirit is part of that illumination of our mind. And this word sanctification of the Spirit, there's a lot to that. I mean, he convicted us, he drew us, and he brought us to Christ. But we had to believe the truth. Notice that. He said, believe. You know, even though we've been chosen by God, even though the Spirit of God's at work, we had to believe the truth. We had to receive it. We had to trust it with all of our heart. Lord, we're blessed. We really are. I think that he says, therefore, brethren, stand fast. Based on those truths of who you are in Christ, based on your identity in Christ, you're loved of God, you're chosen, he saved you, he called you. He even given you his glory to share with him for eternity. So he says, based on that, stand fast, hold the traditions. And these last two verses, I think he wants them to be aware of their security and stability that's to be found in Christ. And in fact, these two verses are prayer. After this exhortation, he's praying. He says, now our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God, even our Father, which had loved us and had given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts. And establish you in every good word and work. You know, I read that some of you may have been on cruise ships and stuff. Did you get seasick? You didn't get seasick. Some of you did. He got sick. Well, I was told that to keep from getting seasickness is to keep your eyes fixed on a stable point. In other words, on the horizon, or to keep your eyes fixed on something stable. And I thought that was pretty cool analogy to think about. That, you know, so much of life is uncertain. It's like a sea up and down. And how do we get through? How do we remain stable? Keep our eyes fixed on a stable point on the horizon. Keep our eyes fixed on the horizon of Jesus' coming. Keep our eyes fixed on something that's stable. Well, or who is stable? That is Jesus and our Father, who loved us and given us everlasting consolation. I like that, everlasting consolation. You know, the consolation He gives us in this life, it's not going to end here. It's going to keep going to eternity. Everlasting consolation and good hope through grace. It's all by grace. But His prayer is this, that Jesus and the Father would comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work. You know, the word comfort could also mean encourage. It's encouragement. He's praying that the Lord would encourage their hearts. They'd been beaten down by persecution. They'd been deceived by false teaching. They were really discouraged folks. I mean, the devil was getting the best of them. I mean, they were at the point of wandering away from the fold of God. And here Paul brings this letter in to correct that error. He brings this letter in to remind them of who they are, their identity in Christ, and says, hey, you need to just stand fast to the truth that's been passed down to you. You need to hold to that. And he said, I'm praying that God would encourage and comfort your hearts and establish you. Establish means to establish, to make them strong, to be able to have stability, to be able to endure. You know, he didn't even pray for God to lift their burdens. He didn't pray for God, take away their enemies, destroy their enemies. He didn't say that. He didn't pray that. He just prayed God would comfort them and give them stability or establish them in every good word and work. I want to just look at that before we close. Every good word and work. He was concerned about their Christian life. He was concerned about their word and their works. In other words, their walk and their talk. You've heard about that, haven't you? Sometimes Christians can talk and talk and talk, but their walk don't match it up. He was concerned about both. He wanted what they would say by word and what they were doing by works to agree. He was praying here for their testimony, every good word and work, that they would be established in these things. You know, if our walk contradicts our words, then we've lost our testimony with the world. We've lost our testimony. Too many Christians today emphasize guarding the truth, but they downplay living the truth. You know, the best way to guard the truth is put it in practice. Amen. Just live it. It's good to be a defender of the faith, but don't forget to be a demonstrator of the faith. Let's demonstrate it. Let's show people. That's what people are looking for. They're looking for real Christians. There's too much religion out there. There's too much hypocrites out there. So many people that doubt that there is a God. They think the Bible is just something written by men. What's going to change their mind? Well, we know the gospel is the power of God and the salvation. Yes, we need to preach the gospel, but also, it would help a long ways if we would live the truth. So he prayed they'd be established in every good word and work. And I guarantee you tonight that we can expect opposition from Satan. He's working tirelessly. He wants to oppose the gospel from advancing out from this church, from advancing out from our lives, out from our families. To overcome his attacks, what do we have to do? So Paul says, stand fast and hold the traditions. Stand fast and hold the traditions. In other words, cling tightly to the truth of God's word. Don't let it go. Don't let it slip. You know, I really enjoyed the bulletin from this past Sunday. It was actually Grandparents' Day. I have showed thy strength to this generation. Psalm 71:18. That's what we're talking about. If we don't hold fast. You know, Jesus, I don't know when he's going to come. I mean, I hope he comes soon. But if he tarries his coming, we need to be holding this so that our children and our grandchildren can have the truth. Because Satan, he's certainly working hard at feeding them with lies and leading them to destruction. Amen. I'm going to pray, and then we're going to have announcements, and we'll take some quick prayer requests if we have any. Father, we're so grateful once again for that fount of every blessing that you are to us. Lord, you're the fountain. Lord, we come to you for blessings. We come to you to meet needs and to help us. Lord, as we are prone to wander, we're prone to go astray, Lord. Our flesh is weak. Lord, I pray that you would help us to stand fast, to hold to the traditions that have been passed down to us, the faith that was once delivered to the saints. Lord, that we would not just hold the truth and defend it, but Lord, that we'd practice it, that we would live it, that as I preach Sunday morning, it's so important to be before we do. We need to be a Christian. We need to be a priest. Realize that we're royal priests before we can actually do the showing forth your praises and offering up spiritual sacrifices. Lord, help us to get better at being a Christian and walking with you and walking in truth. Lord, so people can see Christ in us. Lord, I know that Satan is working so hard and trying to keep us from prayer time with you, walking with you, and time in your word and meditation, and keeping us from church and many other things, Lord, that Satan's working to destroy us and to get us away from you. Lord, help us to stand. Help us to stand fast against his attacks. Help us to hold fast. Help us to hold and cling tightly to that which we've been taught and that which we've learned, and to grow in it. Lord, we thank you for your word tonight. Thank you for the exhortation. And I pray, truly, Lord, I pray as Paul prayed. I pray that you would give comfort, Lord, to the hearts of those here tonight, Lord, encouragement, and that you would establish us in every good word and work. Lord, that's my prayer. And I pray in Jesus' name, and for his sake I pray. Amen.